I don't believe you. Zombie Takeout never existed, and even if they did, I don't co-host it.
Hello, and welcome to episode 409 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's movie, which is from 2017, The Velocipastor. Of course, well, before we get started, I would like to thank Jen for reminding me about this one. I first heard out about it in, I think, 2018, maybe early 2019. I thought I'd put it on the list, but I guess not. And I forgot about it. A few weeks ago...
I've sworn we had too.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, she messaged me about it on Facebook, reminded me about it. As I mentioned, I would like to thank her, but you'll hear the reveal.
And honestly, I was ready to tap out this week. I was like, just dead, and just I don't know if I can record it. That's why we're not doing the hearing. I mean, because it was just like,
we aren't recording the hearing this week because the album we're planning to do, which will be next week, is almost 2 hours long.
We never looked into how long the album was until
I forgot.
It was midnight your time. I opened it up and I'm like, an hour and 44 minutes. Yeah. But I was
kind of busy today, so I was happy to put that off.
I was not going to miss this for the world, though, this one.
And without any further ado, on to the sponsors. Of course, the Impromptu Plot Summary, sponsored by Zucker Abrams and Zucker, who would like to remind you that they already did most of this shit like 40 years ago.
And also brought to you by Ninjas, China's chief export.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we begin with a pastor whose parents are murdered in front of him.
And who looks remarkably like Michael C. Hall. Dexter.
The pastor looks like Jonathan Bolton, the
head of National Security. Not over Macho Grande.
This pastor advises him to go travel for some reason, which he does. He goes to what obviously really was China.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first person you see in China is straight from Crouching Tiger. And then there are ninjas, which, yeah.
Chinese ninjas.
Chinese ninjas. Then you, he gets this, this tooth that he's held on, that this person running from the ninjas.
It's large animal tooth, just to clarify that.
Yes, a large animal tooth. Dragon's tooth, if you will, they I think they called it.
Mm.
And it burns into his hand, and he's immediately back home, but he feels this pain in his hand, and he constantly dreams about it. And it turns out, well, he turns into a T-Rex. Yeah. A very lifelike, realistic looking T-Rex, I might add.
Although when his hands just transform, they're actually bigger than when he fully transforms.
Yes. And I can't keep a straight face while I'm doing this. He turns into a T-Rex, and he kills bad people. First, it starts
with a pimp who we think is going to be the central villain. I was kind of relieved that he wasn't.
Pretty much, yeah. And then he winds up killing a bunch more people. Of course, he befriends the hooker with the heart of gold. You gotta have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a relationship, but they keep getting attacked by ninjas. And it leads to a showdown.
To that part of Kentucky Fried Movie. I can't think of the name, but it's the really long part.
Oh, it's, oh, man.
You know what I'm talking about if you've seen Kentucky Fried Movie. If
yes,
you haven't, you don't.
I can't remember.
But it's the Kung Fu movie parody.
Was it fit, something with the fist? I can't remember.
Yeah.
That's gonna drive me nuts. But yeah, he winds up confronting this group of ninjas who are a rival church too, and hilarity ensues.
I did like the beginning. It did have me on its side from the very beginning. He walks out of church after a sermon, greets his parents from a distance, you know, waves to them, and suddenly their car blows up. But when it cuts back to the shot that would show their car blowing up, it was just the street and said VFX car on fire. And I loved that.
Right. And that is pretty much the opening salvo. That is like, if you don't like this one, turn this off now, because this is going to be a whole movie of this joke.
And then when the older priest is consoling him and having him drink some wine, he says, that's what parents do. They die. And then
is one of the funniest damn lines, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, okay, then we get this great Grindhouse parody title sequence.
Yeah.
At the end of which, did you notice what the music did at the very end of the titles?
No.
The guitar plays a little bit of the Jurassic Park theme.
Oh.
And for me, that's when it was all downhill. I liked it up to there. Because then he goes to China.
Yeah, the China was very cringy.
There's a fine line between parodying racism and seeming racist. I mean, this movie knows where it is.
Well, because there wasn't much of a wink with this, you know? Like the fact that there are ninjas in China and the font.
Yeah, the old priest saying, what did the Chinese say? How Eastern?
Oh, or something. Oh, that's right. He licks his compass and he says, like, China is East.
Yeah.
I guess that's the wink you're getting, you know?
Yeah. I did appreciate when he finally transforms. It's this obviously papier-mâché raptor.
Oh, my God. I think when I worked at Groupon, we had a T-Rex. It's actually online, the T-Rex in our lobby. I think it was one of the first times one of those suits have been used. And it was way more realistic than this.
Although it started to get in trouble for me when he kills the mugger who's attacking the hooker in the park. And we see this severed doll head roll past. It was just trying too hard to be... I have self-aware here, but it really was just trying too hard to do Zucker Abrams.
And they use the doll head gag a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the morning after, there are these obvious, like, push-ins when he's, you know, telling... You know, he's panicking about what happened.
You know. Now, was the pimp trying to do Jack Black? Or was he trying to do Tony Clifton? Or was he doing both?
Probably more Tony Clifton, given that he's a very 70s kind of pimp.
True, true.
And then, it's been a while since I've complained about a montage. But this wasn't just a montage. This was a pop punk montage. The worst kind of montage.
Didn't we have one in last week's movie too?
If we did, I was enjoying the movie too much to care. This one didn't have that problem. Well, yeah, okay,
the party
yeah.
montage, yeah. Which was fucking hilarious. The yeah. party montage.
This was just a straight up training montage with pop punk, and of course the Chinese ninjas are the central villains. You know, and when he also the joke that really killed it for me, when he's talking to the old priest and trying to explain, you know, about to tell him that you know I turn into a dinosaur, when he says, you know, I'm different. The priest says, you're not that different. There are plenty of men like you in the church. And of course, the Macho Grande scene. An actual, like, war flashback from the old priest, which made no sense.
Oh, of course.
And they went into all this backstory on this side character, the old priest. And then there's Ollie, his war buddy, this beardy guy who was just like stock low budget actor.
Yeah.
Like even the way he acted, we've seen in a billion low budget movies.
Now, what I liked about the Vietnam flashback, though, was the building this character, this other thing. I mean, you know, of course, something bad is going to happen. He's talking about she's all I'm fighting for and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she was there.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
The only real gore in the movie.
Yes. Because yes.
That's what was missing from this movie was gore, among other things. I did like the dinosaur makeup during the seance. They're trying to do this exorcism. More of a seance with this Egyptian statue. I don't know. But he starts to transform, and the makeup actually looked pretty good.
Now, not the gloves. At first I thought that was Trey Parker.
Yeah.
I thought they actually got Trey Parker somehow to do the movie. I'm like, wait, is that...
Now, there's an odd sex scene. Because all of the shots are kind of in windows, like... You know, different, like, smaller windows on the screen. It's with this loud, obnoxious music. It seemed like it was referencing something from the 90s, but I don't know what the reference was.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either what that was about. I think with their relationship, the best part about it was before they began the montage, when you're expecting them to kiss,
mm-hmm.
and instead they high-five.
Yeah. That was I did appreciate that. I also liked, after the sex scene, how they showed like the movie thus far in high speed.
That oh, yeah.
But the whole Father Wei Chang thing was just straight out of fucking Kentucky Fried Movie.
Except when they did this whole, like, weird convoluted plan of getting everyone addicted to their cocaine.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there like a drug running thing in Kentucky Fried too?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Okay, it's been too long. I feel like there was like an organized crime angle there too. And then Doug, the father, the pastor, his brother is one of the ninjas. The brother they've never mentioned before.
Oh my god, I love this part.
It's just completely out of nowhere, and apparently he's Chuck, you know? He's the kid, he's the guy who gets no love, no, just disappears.
Think about... Wait, just take a step back and think about what they've done here. They have these flashbacks with his parents earlier on, mm-hmm. and you think they're just happy things. You're, right. you're
he's my an best only child. Son.
You're, yeah. And then to, like, in the middle of the movie, retcon.
Yeah. That he there's actually a brother in all of those scenes who's not getting any attention.
They play this flashbacks again to show him being there, like, what?
And then they make a big deal out of this, and there's this big face off between the brothers, and this gag where, you know, the brother has this magical sword of his ancestors, and then that he, you know, puts in the ground, and the pastor just calls it to him, you know, himself. Because they have the same ancestors. Same
ancestors, yeah.
And then he just stabs him with the sword. to end it. Like, build up for nothing. And then, of course, you know, we get the actual full Velocipastor transformation, which was a papier-mâché T-Rex, which I did get a bit of a kick out of.
I mean, he's... Like, how is he even walking in that thing?
Yeah.
Like, how is he... Was barely. He crouched over with, like...
The... Yeah. And the last thing in my notes, he used to be the Velocipastor, but then he took an arrow to the knee. Wei Chang shoots him with an arrow tipped with the antidote to the curse that turns him into the Velocipastor. And then, of course, he has a final scene where, you know, the girlfriend who he thought was dead earlier is saved, and they, you know, have a final scene together.
And then, like, I liked one where she had her quote-unquote death scene.
Mm-hmm.
The other ninjas get upset about it and just stand there.
Okay. Now, I do have a bit of trivia. Director sure. Brendan Steer thought of the idea in 2010 while he was attending the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan after his phone auto-corrected Velociraptor to Velocipastor.
Auto-correct
led to this movie. Yes. And then he made a trailer, which I'm sure was very entertaining. It just should have stopped at the trailer stage. On to sequels and remakes.
on a sequels and remakes.
Brandon Steer wants to do a sequel to the movie as he believes the world of Velocipaster is so, quote, permissible and fun. Brandon Steele shared a sneak peek at the script over on Twitter, first announcing that a sequel script has officially been written and is set to start filming at some point.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see a, I don't know, maybe a tighter script. but I don't know. That was the whole thing of this movie, was that you go back to the VFX card, you know, uh-huh. but it is just loosey-goosey.
Yeah. A tighter script wouldn't help.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't fit. Or even a budget. I don't know. It's just, it was what it was. No,
you
don't need a budget.
You just need more creative jokes.
Hmm.
And I think maybe it was made for millennials who are too young to have seen Zazz. We grew up on Zazz. Although you loved it, so I don't know. I saw all the jokes coming. Which was the problem. Anyway, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
I'm going to. Like I said, I saw the jokes coming, and the whole Chinese thing got a little racist looking. So, anyway. You?
Yeah, it's a... they're a little cringy. But, you know, I'm going to give it a 4. You know, it's a fun movie. It's, they have some pretty good jokes in there. It's not a particularly long movie either, so...
Hour 10 on Tubi. It's free on Tubi. The links will be in all the relevant places. All right, so what have we learned?
We learned that... I forgot what I learned. there's a surprisingly little demand for hooker doctor lawyers.
And I learned that while you can't fight evil with a macaroni duck, you apparently can fight it with a papier-mâché dinosaur. All right, that's it for The Velocipaster. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Hairspray, the original, the John Waters version. This is our Jerry Stiller tribute. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.